Welcome to Smith Weekly Discussions, an occasional program for our members of Smith Weekly Research. Please note this program is a private discussion and everything contained herein is for entertainment and educational purposes only. With that, we hope you're in a comfortable position along with your favorite beverage to enjoy the discussion. We remind our audience to examine our show notes attached to each of our shows to better understand how our program functions. Before we get into our discussion, we want to say thanks for questions coming from our audience of Smith Weekly, including Ryan S., Mike P., Mark R., and Cindy W. Returning guest on the program today, Mr. Michael Collins is with us. Michael is the Chief Executive Officer of Nuclear Fuels. The company is focused on uranium exploration in Wyoming, United States, geared towards ISR-type deposits, with the large consolidated KCISR project in central Wyoming, nearby and to the west of existing uranium projects and past producing operations. Drilling work at the KC project has confirmed the existence of uranium mineralization, with more follow-up work to be progressed in 2024. The company also has other projects in Wyoming, including Bobcat and Boot Heel projects in the Shirley Basin region, as well as other projects in Utah, Arizona, and also in Labrador, Canada. Nuclear Fuels is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol NF, and also on the U.S. OTC markets under the symbol NFUNF. Mike, welcome back to the podcast.
Andrew, thank you for having me. It's great to be back on.
Yeah, Mike, good to chat with you again and get an update as to progress in Wyoming for the company. But before we get into that specifically, why don't we just collect your thoughts on changes, things you're seeing on the uranium market side here, just as far as, you know, sentiment events that we've seen over the last few months. It's been a number of months since we've talked, and so wanted to get your thoughts on that to start.
It has been a couple months. We had a roaring kind of market in the fall and early winter 2023. And February really, I think, saw a pullback in the spot price in uranium, but it was actually expected by a lot of people in the business, and in some ways a good thing. Settled out the stocks a bit. We're forming a nice base in the high 80s for uranium spot, and more importantly, spot and long-term prices are sort of tightening up and a lot closer together, which historically has been important. So I think we're forming a really good base for spot and long-term moving ahead in 2024. So we're in a really great position moving forward, and it's sort of allowed everyone to catch their breath, look at the companies they want to buy, and make more informed decisions before worrying about getting shut out of the market that's racing along.
Interesting set of events out there, of course, with respect to not only the uranium market, fuel cycle changes and things that have happened since we've spoke, which I think it was probably around the neighborhood of about over 4 months now, or right at 4 months. Things remain to be very constructive here in the sector for us, and so all ahead forward.
Yep.
Why don't we dive into Nuclear Fuels here? The company is getting started with the drill program at Casey. High level here to start off. Talk about the plans for this drill program in terms of focus areas, the schedule, duration, and what you expect to accomplish with this campaign.
All right. So in 2023, we had an 89 drill hole program that focused on the saddle and spur historic deposit areas. 2024 is going to be focused on expanding out from these areas and looking to build inferred resources through this year. Right now, we've got about, 111 drill holes left in our current drill permit. We actually have a drill permit application, a modification application, in with the government in Wyoming. We'd look to significantly expand that. We're looking to be running a drill there all summer. So we're pretty excited about what we're doing and our opportunities, and we'll be, you know, pushing to get that drill notification approved and keep drilling right into the fall. Very busy year for us.
And Mike, with that, just a follow up, as that permit amendment gets approved for the drilling, what would you suspect just as far as the last program in terms of size, like based on drill holes? But this program, given the plans here, one rig running, will it be a couple of different times? And then also, what do you think the size is compared to the prior?
We're looking to get a second rig involved on this program and really push the footage this summer. That will depend on when we get that drill modification in. Line that up, and we're pretty excited to get a second rig in. We're looking north of, my ambition would be to be drilling more than 600 drill holes. Pretty significant impact in terms of our ability to put inferred resources together.
Certainly much larger than 2023 here. With this program, assume here, Mike, that, and again, this is very speculative at this point, but let's assume there's some continued success here with this program of size post-program. And maybe you can talk a little bit about budget as we get into capital structure in a moment, but post-program, say coming into this winter, Q4 2024, talk about the plans after this drill program is completed, assuming that the goals are met. And as far as just other things with respect to next steps on delineation of resources, resource estimates is something that's to be looked at in 2025. Maybe further sampling and testing, review of historic data, of course, that you guys have there to determine other targets. And if that work will remain to be confined to Saddle and Spur, or will there be some additional work done on the project? Because it is quite large.
It is, yeah. We'll be expanding north as the summer goes along, and also significantly further to the east of Saddle. We've got a lot of opportunities there. One of the things that we'll need to do this year is getting some core samples for metallurgical testing. Most of the drilling that we do is rotary mud chip drilling, but in order to look at the permeability and the leachability of the sands, we need to have large diameter core samples that we can test for ISR amenability. We will be, at the end of the year, we'll look at where we are in terms of our overall target, the 15 million pound target for the project as a whole. We'll also be looking at where we are globally in Wyoming in terms of, hitting a 10 to 15 million target as a whole. That's sort of the rule of thumb in the business is you want to be able to see 10 years of production at 1 million pounds to bring something into production. But because of the nature of ISR production, it doesn't all have to be in one place. So one of the things that I'm really thinking about and considering is, can I pull together north of 10 million pounds of really solid grade ISR amenable resources that looks like it could be a production package, as it were. So that's kind of one of the key things we'll be doing in this fall is examining that in a global sense.
Those targets, I think, overall, fairly low-hanging fruit compared to the size of this project. And so I think that that can certainly be put together. Obviously, it's just a matter of capital and time, identifying best places to place those drill holes as well. Appreciate that and looking forward to seeing some of that progress done and the market starting to get its head around what's going on here with respect to the Casey project. While we are on that, and let's talk capital structure here, Mike, as far as shares outstanding at this point. There was a capital raise done earlier this year. Talk about current cash with the drill program, what you expect roughly to be maybe the cash balance post this exploration campaign at Casey. Just cover those things off for us.
We did a raise in January this year, 6.4 million at 60 cents with a half warrant at 80. Our issued outstanding is about 60.3, and warrants would be just under 7 million. So we've got around 7 million in the bank at this point. Our program this summer, obviously, we expect to have pretty good results. We know where we're going, but it will be calibrated to market response and market interest in what we're doing. If we are seeing the response that we expect and well, the results that we expect and the response to them that we're looking for, we'll probably look to do another capital raise and push this drill program and expand on it, as it were, in the fall. And in the meantime, we've got, I think, sufficient cash to cover this program, as it were. things will depend on where the market goes. This is a really significant program, so that will go fairly quickly. One of the things that's kind of interesting about drilling for ISR resources is it's actually relatively inexpensive. We're looking at about $60 US a foot for our all-in drill costs, from permitting to gamma log assay to remediation. If you compare that to your cost for core recovery drilling in Canada, which would be in the hundreds of dollars, it's a much more effective way to explore, faster, cheaper, and because you're using gamma logging, it allows you a quick turnaround in terms of being able to follow up and build on your results in a year. Pretty excited about it.
With respect to other projects in Wyoming, a number of administrative work that needs to be done, and it is ongoing, of course, at the company as far as Wyoming projects and data review, et cetera. But is there any work planned on other Wyoming projects this year? Bobcat, Boot Heel come to mind, of course. Also, any work to be planned or done on projects outside of Wyoming this year?
Hopefully, later in the year, a program at Boot Heel. We're actually quite interested in what that looks like as a production story. If you look at Boot Heel, there's, I think, a million pounds of indicated resources there, and another three and a bit of inferred resources at Boot Heel, and so it represents a significant cornerstone resource. We're going to look at that and see what that how that shapes up. We've been doing a bit of work in Labrador this winter, relatively small program compared to the whole. But interestingly enough, we're using skidoos or snow machines and scintillometers to look for anomalies there. And that's kind of an interesting way to prospect. But the ground, there's a lot of trees there, but there's really tough brush on the ground. So moving across the snow on top of it all has allowed us to rapidly be able to map ground that we couldn't get to even with helicopters in the summertime, and really work to identify uranium and rare earth potentials there. That's sort of a bit of a sidebar to our ISR story, but we think it has the opportunity to be spun out and be a significant asset for the company and for our shareholders. So that's been another small focus. We may do a little bit of work down at our Moonshine project in Arizona. We'll be slowly progressing that forward. But I think in terms of drilling, Boot Heel will be our second target this year.
Mike, I appreciate that. It's good to know you guys are doing a little bit of work on some of these other prospective things, because there is, when you look at this company and you look at the different assets, there's a number of value propositions there. But obviously, Wyoming and Casey is really the one that stands out in my mind substantially here. So I appreciate the comments and the work ongoing there to unlock further value for shareholders on some of these other assets as well. As you know, there are a handful of peer companies competing for investor capital and attention. Sentiment in the sector, as you know, is up and down here and there, and juniors specifically on the far end of the risk spectrum. Small companies tend to compete often for capital and attention. And you've seen also that valuations are all over the place, Mike, when you look at comparable peer companies. What do you think sets nuclear fuels apart in your view compared to peers just in the U.S., for example?
Well, number one, I think if you look at the sector as a whole, we've seen the production stories and the near-term production stories moving much further ahead and being valued much higher compared to their assets versus advanced exploration. And we fall clearly in the advanced exploration side of the equation. One of the things that is probably going to be key for us is moving ourselves from that, and as we develop Casey and other projects, I think you'll see a market. Number one, will rise to the top of that advanced exploration category. But my ambition really is to move nuclear fuels from advanced exploration into something that people can see as a production story, and putting a bit more paint on the house, as it were, and what that looks like, and what that potential road to production might be for our company. Because really, at the end of the day, that's building companies, exploration companies is all about, is moving it towards a development story. So we're working pretty hard on that, and that's where we'll see value in the market.
It's good to have that. And of course, you guys do have the resources, I'll point out, to be able to get to that end as well. And so, a lot of companies out here don't have those resources, whereas you guys do have access to those resources through the group. And so I appreciate the comments there and looking forward to seeing this advance forward because the time is now. As they say, make hay while the sun is shining. So I appreciate your comments.
You have to differentiate when you look at companies, the assets in a company, pounds in the ground and pounds in the ground that look like they could actually be produced in a timely and efficient manner. That would be my perspective. That's a key issue.
Yes, absolutely. Well, on the people front too, Mike, and let me tie this in with local community work. Talk about some of those community efforts that you guys are doing at the local level. Of course, utilization of local service providers, which is important, as well as any comments on some of the staff that are helping you out and leading the charge at the site at Casey.
We look to hire contractors. A significant number of our contractors are actually that are local ranchers that we're working with for surface right access. But beyond that, our main U.S. office is actually in Casey. Our drillers are from a place called Glen Rock, which is sort of south of us within the Powder River Basin. They drive home every night after their drill shifts. Our drillers are local to Casey or central Wyoming. So we've actually had really good luck in terms of bringing people in, both from the construction side of the business, moving dirt, but also on the geological side, which was a key thing this year. Is we looking to expand our drilling, we needed more staff. So we were actually really excited to be able to get some local hires that have a depth of uranium exploration and delineation experience. So we've got some really good people on board this year. Pretty excited about that.
Mike, thank you. And that's always good. And we're looking forward to seeing more news here as things get ramped up here as far as the drilling campaign. So I suspect we'll see plenty of information flow out on results and work being done over the next few months. One other thing that came to mind, Mike, you guys are listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange and have been for a while now. My question is as you guys continue to improve the visual of the company as well as progress work on the ground and valuation continues to increase in more respect of what you guys have for assets and the work you're doing compared to peers, of course. Is there line of sight with respect to maybe potentially looking at TSXV listing or TSX in the next, call it, year, 2 years?
We'd actually probably be looking, Andrew, to jump that and go to a full US listing, because that's really, I think, probably the best place for a US ISR story. So as we move along, that would be our key focus would be getting on AIM or NASDAQ, something like that. But there's ways to go in terms of capitalization, but those would be targets for us.
Well, it's great to have those goals, and I think that that's a good goal to have here given the focus of the company. So I appreciate that. Well, Mike, any other comments here? But I'll wrap up with this question as well, and any final comments you have for potential investors who are listening in. The company has a market capitalization of about 28 million Canadian dollars. Why should nuclear fuels be considered within the institutional family office and retail investors' portfolio at this point?
Nuclear Fuels is a well-financed and well-structured company. Our projects are just beginning to show the potential that they have. So there's a significant road that we'll be going down and adding value relatively quickly and in a relative low-risk way. Beyond that, we fall on the advanced exploration side of the uranium space, which I believe is the next area for uranium stocks that will move. So we're the right company in terms of quality in the right space, and the ability to actually execute in Wyoming is allows us to de-risk all that process.
And Mike, how can interested parties reach out to the company?
You can reach out to me directly. My email is mcollins@nuclearfuels.energy. Energy is a suffix. There's no dot com there. Won't always be able to reply to you right away, but if you've got a question, please just send it on in and I'll do my best to answer it.
Mike, thank you for that. And look, we appreciate the update. Looking forward to the upcoming results from the drilling campaign at Casey, and we'll chat again soon.
Andrew, thank you for taking the time to listen to our story, and thank you to your listeners for listening as well.